Good morning and welcome to Zion. We are still in our Easter season, and I love that we can carry through for 50 days until Pentecost, remembering Christ's resurrection and celebrating that, and not just having one Sunday, Easter Sunday, to do that. So this is our third Easter Sunday, and May 15th will be Pentecost Sunday. So let's take a moment to greet one another. If you're a visitor, we invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards, and you can drop that in the offering basket when it comes by. But let's take a moment to stand and greet those around you. If you have an announcement, please come forward. This is our time for announcements. Any announcements?
Well, last Sunday I had a short quiz. I asked how many people liked to garden, and everybody raised their hands. And then we asked you to sign on the slip back there if you wanted to help in the garden up here. And then a couple people after church asked me, well, what do we do with all that stuff? So it goes to Jubilee Food Pantry or to Aware Food Bank or someplace. And the decision was made that if there isn't 10 names on the list, we're not going to do a garden this year. So we'll see by the time church is over with today how many people want a garden up here. Thank you.
Please note in your bulletin that next Sunday we will be having Iris Hartshorn here to preach. And also during the Sunday school hour, there will be an opportunity to see this video about the doctrine of discovery. So there's a little write-up in your bulletin if you want to check that out and make plans for next Sunday. For our call to worship, I will be reading from Revelation 5, verses 11 through 14, and then from Psalm 30. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. "I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumph over me. O Lord, my God, I cried out to you, and you restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave. Sing to the Lord, you servants of His. Give thanks for the remembrance of His holiness. For His wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, His favor for a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with favor made me as strong as the mountains. Then you hid your face, and I was filled with fear. I cried to you, O Lord. I pleaded with the Lord, saying, what profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you or declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my wailing into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Therefore, my heart sings to you without ceasing. O Lord, my God, I will give you thanks forever. Let's pray together. Holy God, we come before you with hearts full of thanksgiving, with hearts full of awe for an empty tomb and a resurrected living Savior. Because that resurrection power that draws us to worship, we long to be connected to your Spirit and your creative life in us and the world. We long to know that our lives matter, that we have ultimate purpose beyond how we perform or what we earn. And we long to encounter you in prayer, to know that our prayers make a difference. So we ask you to give us courage to respond to you in faith and to trust that when we do, change in ourselves and the world is possible. Lord, we need you. We need your Spirit working in and through us, just as it worked in and through a group of frightened, disbelieving followers to change their doubt to faith and their fear to boldness. So, Lord, we ask that we may encounter you today, that it would be no less startling, no less joyful, so that we, like the disciples, may proclaim a risen Savior to all the world. Amen. Let's sing together.
Good morning. Please stand and join in singing number 87. Number 87.
Thank you.
please remain standing and turn over to number 43. Number 43, and we'll sing the first three verses.
Christ is our cornerstone.
The ushers, please come forward for our morning offering. Thank you, young men, for serving us this morning. Let's pray. God, we recognize together that you are worthy, worthy of our worship, our love, our lives. And we also recognize that you are worthy of our best gifts. So we give today with hearts of gratitude. It is a joy to give back to you, to honor you with our money, to bless you with that which you have blessed us. So we ask that you take these gifts, use them to bring great glory to your name. For you and you alone do we give these gifts. Amen. Adults, will you do this with me? As the children come forward, come on up, kids, for children's stories. Yeah. You know this song? Keep snapping. Okay, so I want to talk about what makes you happy. What makes you happy? What did you say? Your dad?
Yeah.
Yes, your dad. Okay, he opens things that you can play with. Your dad. Okay, who else? What makes you happy? What made you happy yesterday? Or this past week? For me, I liked the sunshine. And I got to go out with my little dogs and we went for a walk. And I was happy. I was happy being with my dogs. Anybody else? Yes.
Friends.
You're happy to be with friends. What about the rest of you? Are you happy when you're with friends?
Uh-huh.
Yes, we can agree that we're all happy with friends.
I went to a birthday party.
You went to a birthday party. That was a happy time. Are we all happy when we go to birthday parties? Especially when they're probably our own birthday parties. Yes.
My dog.
Okay, you're happy with your dog. Aiden. In 6 more days, it's going to be your birthday. Okay, Lily.
I love my reading.
Reading. Who else is happy to be reading? Yes? Okay, we can agree on some same things that we're happy about. Now, I want you to think about what makes you worry. Our song said, don't worry, be happy. What makes you worry? Does homework make you worry?
Of course.
Do you have homework to do? Some of you are saying no. Okay, older ones are saying yes.
I'm saying yes, too.
Okay. Well, I worry about people that are sick. My mother is sick right now, and I worry about her, that I don't want her to suffer a lot. So that's a worry I have. Anybody else? Yes.
Fires,
okay, wildfires that can happen this time of year we worry about. Aiden?
Yesterday, I was happy because we went to Brandy's house and had a barbecue.
And you were worried?
No.
No, you were happy. That was a happy time. Okay, great. Well, I want us to realize that we have a good God, and when we do worry about things, we can go to Him. And today's message is going to be about prayer. And one way we can go to God is through prayer, through talking to Him and telling Him of our nervousness, our cares, our concerns, because He says, "Let your requests be made known to me, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Jesus." So I want you to think about that with our little song in your head today. Don't worry, be happy. And when you do worry, what will we do?
Pray.
Remember to talk to God and ask Him to carry those worries that you have. I have, my grandpa is no longer living, but his name was Brooks Pletcher. And he lived to be 96, I think. I'm sorry, I can't remember. And I asked him in his old age, "What is the secret to a long life?" And he said, "Jana, don't worry. You can't change things by worrying about them. Give them to God." So that's what I want you to take with you today. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are with us, that your peace passes all understanding, that you will take what our hearts carry, our burdens, our worries, that we can give them to you always. We pray in your name. Amen. And as we leave, please snap your fingers. Oliver and Carly this morning, I just want you to put Carly with Oliver because Carly grew up here. And she's planning to marry Oliver this summer, or Oliver's planning to marry her. And both of them have been with YWAM in the last year. Carly was in Fiji, and Oliver was in Nepal. And it's been fun to hear of their experiences. And when I got together with them and we started sharing, I just thought, let's give them an opportunity to give us a message this morning. So Oliver will be sharing, and then Carly will later. So, yeah, blessings to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, good morning. I just want to say it's such an honor and a privilege to be up here, and I just thank Jana and Matthew for giving me this space. Just to really share what's on my heart and share, yeah, what the Lord has been doing through me and really what He's been teaching me. I invite you to join with me in prayer. Dear Jesus, we just thank you that you are for us, God, that you are good. And God, we just ask for this space, God, that it would just be a space where we can hear your voice, God, and that we can get to know you more. And Lord, I just pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts, God, that we may be enlightened to your truth and to your love for us. God, I just ask for the Holy Spirit that brings wisdom and revelation to be made manifest in our space this morning. And Jesus, we ask that you would be honored, glorified, and magnified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So yeah, like Jana said, my name is Oliver Denlinger. And that is, I know a lot of people have trouble pronouncing my last name, but it is Denlinger, like a bear den, and then something that would linger. So Denlinger, I had to explain that to Craig this morning, so... Yeah, so I was born and raised in Lancaster County, the land of the Amish, as many people refer to it as. I grew up in the Mennonite Church, And then 2 years, my first 2 years after high school, I went to Heston College, and that's where I met Carly. And we both graduated last May, and then we got engaged in June, and we've been engaged ever since then, which it's been a long while. And I'm ready to get married, and our date is July 2nd. So, yeah, it's super exciting, and I cannot wait for that. And it's funny, because my mother refers to Heston College as a shoe factory. So you go in as one shoe, you find your match, and then you emerge as a pair. And I guess I and Carly, we are another supporting example that affirms my mother's analogy of Heston as a shoe factory. So any of you younger ones, any of the youth who are looking for some quality education and a potential chance to meet your future spouse, I would recommend Heston. Anyway, after Heston, we got graduated, and then this past year, we both did a DTS, which is a discipleship training school, and it's through an organization called Youth with a Mission, which is just a global missions organization. I think they have bases in, 180 different countries, so they're all over the place. And I went to Nepal, like Jana said, for my two-month outreach. Carly went to Fiji. And we both had an amazing time of just seeing what the Lord is doing in the nations and what he's doing across the face of the earth in this hour of history. So our times definitely differed in some aspects, but there are many underlying unifying themes and principles that radically changed our lives and our outlook of the future. So that's a brief nutshell about what I've been doing in the past couple of years and why I'm standing in front of you. I'm not just a stranger who walked in demanding to be up here this morning. So, my deepest desire for this morning is simply to articulate the ways in which the Lord's heart has touched and transformed mine. And I want to focus our attention this morning on the topic of prayer and intimacy with God. And just like Jan was saying, like when we are worried, to take our prayers to God. But I think prayer isn't just an outlet where we take our worries, but it's a powerful tool which we can see so much in our immediate surrounding be transformed, and even internationally we can see transformation happen by our prayers. So I just want to share a short story and testimony about how this really became a reality for me in my life, of this sacred place of prayer and intimacy that I just believe so much in, and I've spent so much time cultivating this area in my heart. And my senior year of high school, my mother encouraged me to go to this 24/7 house of prayer. And prior to this, I had no greater understanding of what a house of prayer was. And I was a little, I was just confused, didn't really know what was going on. And so they said that their purpose is to honor Jesus Christ and open heavenly gates onto regional transformation. So I said, awesome. Sounds pretty cool. I don't know what that looks like. And I just thought the whole idea of being 24/7 of a place that is dedicated to prayer, I just thought that sounded a little crazy. And I thought these people were insane. And I didn't even know if this was biblical. So I was like, what's going on here? Like, I know prayer definitely is, but I've never seen this expression of prayer before. And I was a little leery just to accept it. But within that, there was a curiosity that arose within me. And I was like, I need to figure out, like, what revelation these people have in their heart and what, like, purpose and passion they carry to make this house go 24/7 with unceasing prayer. So that launched me into this just time where I just would go into this house of prayer, and I was just like, they'd have a equipping service every Tuesday night, and I would just go and sit there, and I'd just listen just to the Lord and simply just kind of reorient and realign my perspective and try to understand a little bit where all these people are coming from and why they had such a heart for 24/7 prayer. And, yeah, I just didn't understand, like, why would someone wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to go to this barn? It was in, like, a barn that they held in, a renovated barn. They'd go there, and they'd pray for 2 hours. I was like, why? Don't these people value sleep? Or are they nocturnal? I didn't quite get it. So I just, I just invoked a curiosity within me, and I had to find out what it was all about. And through that all, I really just found that the Lord is beckoning us, and he's just calling and wooing us to come into that place of intimacy with him that's surrounded just by prayer and worship and ascribing honor and worth to him because he truly is worthy. And so that was like, this has been just a concept and a place that is near and dear to my heart. And it's been a place where I've experienced much growth and just understanding from God as I just invest in just prayer and worship. And I believe that this is a task that will remain pleasurable and satisfying for all the days of my life. And while this expression is beginning to multiply throughout the earth, like I wasn't satisfied just knowing like what the expression or what the outworking was. I wanted to know the heart behind it and where like this was in Scripture. And I think David really encapsulated just the heart of this best in Psalm 27:4 when he says, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." And through David's whole life of being king and of conquering a lot of territory and defeating enemies, he said the one thing that he wants and that he wishes is that he may dwell in the house of the Lord, simply to gaze upon the beauty of Jesus. And I just, that was just totally, just reshifted my perspective and my outlook of, you know, what Christianity is all about and what this journey is simply just to gaze upon Jesus and to grow in relationship with him. And I want to look at John 15, which is one of my favorite passages. It speaks of just us abiding in a vine and that any sustainable and lasting fruit is fully dependent upon abiding in Jesus. So I think this one verse kind of sums up just that whole passage of the vine and the branches. Is verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in them, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I think this is such a key thing, is that we need to understand that we must be constantly connected to the vine. And that it's not enough for us just to go about our days trying to do just these acts of service and just all of these good things that truly are good things. When we are disconnected from the vine, and we need to be plugged into him because it's from that place that we bear lasting and sustainable fruit. So, yeah, this passage really helped to realign and reorient my mindset back to enthroning the first commandment in the first place of my life, which is loving Jesus. And as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. He's saying that to his son, Jesus. And then Jesus says, abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. So we see that abiding must precede everything that we do in this life, that it precedes our service, and that anything that we do is flowing from this place of abiding in his love. And I've heard this concept thrown around a lot, but it pertains to this passage, and it says that we cannot give something that we do not have. So in order for us to give love and to have an impact in the world around us, we first have to receive love. And I think that is our greatest goal in this life, is simply to be a recipient of God's love and from that place channel it to others in whatever sphere of society that we find ourselves in. And then another passage I want to look at is Luke 10, 38-42. And this is the story of Mary and Martha. So you can flip with me there if you have your Bibles. So I'll just read this short passage quick and then I'll kind of unpack it. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." And I absolutely love this story because I think it gives us such a clear picture of what this is all about. And it's what Mary was doing was simply just dwelling at the feet of Jesus and just gazing upon his beauty and being infatuated by just who he was. And, yeah, I think outwardly, when we look at this story, like, we think that Martha is doing the right thing, and she absolutely is. And, like, service is great, especially, like, when it's for his king and it's on to Jesus. But I see Martha kind of rushing around and frantically trying to do all these things, like a little Energizer bunny in her kitchen, trying to serve and do all this stuff for Jesus, and she's calling on her sister Mary, like, Mary, why aren't you helping me? Like, Jesus, can you please tell Mary to, like, get up and, like, actually do something and, like, be productive? And Jesus is like, no, like, Martha, like, listen, you have it all wrong. But one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. So I think so often, like, I find myself slipping into this mindset of, like, I need to serve and, like, actually do something externally onto the Lord. And I think those things are good, absolutely. I'm not condemning those things, and I don't think Jesus was either in this passage. But I think that a lot of times those acts of service can get distracted, and they can become disconnected to the, like, from the vine, and they become their own deal, and they're not from Jesus. So yeah, and I think, yeah, this is just such a beautiful passage, and I love it, and it's really, like, John 15 reoriented my perspective and my paradigm, just what Jesus wants from us and what he's asking of us. So may we all prioritize the great privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus. So now I want to just kind of explore this question that was posed to me when I was on DTS. We had a speaker from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, which is a 24/7 prayer room that's been going continually since 1999. And he was the main kind of influential leader in the birth of that. But he posed three questions to us. What does prayer do to God's heart? What does prayer do to our own heart? And what impact does prayer have in the hearts of our neighbors, communities, and our nations? And so he gave us these three questions. He said, you have the night to just research and to study the scriptures and find scriptural basis for these three questions. And so this was something that completely, yeah, once again, transforms my thinking. And so the first question was, what does prayer do to God's heart? And Revelation 5:8 speaks of the heavenly host bringing forth bowls of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And then later on in Revelation chapter 8, verses 4 and 5, it speaks of the angels presenting these bowls of incense at the base of the throne of the Lord. And as the incense arises to the Lord, the bowls are then filled with fire from the altar and hurled down upon the earth. So it's our prayers that are constantly being offered are accumulating in heaven, and eventually they'll be dumped out upon the earth, bringing breakthrough and transformation and redemption. And so through all this, we know that as we pray, that each prayer does not go unheard, that each prayer has weight and significance, and that it does emotionally affect the heart of the Lord. So let us all remain steadfast in the hope of Christ's glory, even when we think our prayers are not going above the ceiling and they're bouncing right back off and coming down into our midst. But we can know and rest assured that every prayer is heard. And then the second question was, what does prayer do to my heart? Romans 12:2 states, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So through prayer and feasting upon his word, when we really come back to that place of just, yeah, diving into the word and really having that on our hearts, we see that our minds are renewed and our hearts are rejuvenated. And we actually have the capacity and ability to discover the will of God, and as we devote ourselves to just being in the secret place. And I think that's something so amazing, because so often I find myself saying, God, if it's your will, do this, which absolutely, like, God is sovereign and he is in control. But I think we have the ability to test and approve his will just by feasting in his word and knowing just who he is. So the last one was, what impact does prayer have in the hearts of our neighbors, our communities, and our nations? And Luke 18, Jesus delivers this parable of the persistent widow. which is this widow who's constantly crying out for justice against her adversary, but the judge does not care about man, nor does he fear God, and he's a stubborn judge. But this lady, this old widow, is persistent, and in a similar fashion to the persistent widow crying out for justice against her adversary, Jesus proclaims in verses 7 and 8, And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice quickly. So our prayers offered on behalf of our neighbors, communities, and our nations are heard, and they make a significant difference. So do not lose heart if you do not see your prayers immediately taking root in the physical realm around you. You can rest assured that they are being heard and that God is acting upon them, even if it's not playing out in the way that you think it should. So the delay, and sometimes we experience this delay in our prayers, is we'll pray and we won't hear anything, or we won't see anything, and we feel like God doesn't hear us. But I think the delay is something outside of our ability and capacity to understand. And I think it's a mystery, and I think it's part of his sovereignty and just his divine orchestrating. But we can rest assured knowing that the bowls of incense are constantly being filled up, and we never know when those bowls might flip and bring transformation and breakthrough and restoration upon our nations, our neighbors, even our families, our households. And then this is the part that just really blew my mind, just in reference to 24/7 worship and how this expression of worship is beginning to be multiplied all throughout the earth. And the same speaker that we had asked us this question of what does it actually look like for heaven to invade earth? Because so often, like in the Lord's Prayer, we see on earth as it is in heaven, like, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And often, I think that just like invoked curiosity within me, is like, what does like heaven on earth actually look like? And like, what is like revival? What does that actually look like? And I think in order to accurately and effectively answer this question, we must ask ourselves, what is the primary activity in heaven? And, you know, what is happening there? What is the predominant activity or expression that is going on in heaven? And I think we can find that in Revelation, in chapters 4 and 5, that it's worship, it's affection, adoration, and devotion to the one seated on the throne. And it looks like God's children pouring out their hearts to the beautiful one who is found worthy. And the fulfillment of heaven invading earth looks like day and night worship, covering the earth as the waters cover the sea. And within the past couple of decades, this movement of 24/7 worship, and I think it goes beyond a movement. I think it's more of like a heart posture and a way that we just present ourselves to the Lord, saying that you are worthy, even if I have to get up at 2 a.m. to cover a prayer watch, simply to say that you are worthy and that I will stand on the wall and gaze upon you, even if it is in the middle of the night. I think that whole model and that whole heart posture is beginning to arise all throughout the earth. And it's, yeah, springing out in every location of the earth. And it's not limited or reserved just to America or Europe or just the Western world, but it's literally happening everywhere. And, yeah, just when I see this happening, like, I truly think that heaven is beginning to invade earth in our day, in our hour. And I was just listening to teaching archive from Mike Bickle, who is the founder of International House of Prayer in Kansas City, just this week when I was working out in the field. And he said that in 1984, many leaders in the body of Christ got together and they set out on a quest to figure out how many 24/7 prayer networks or chains and assemblies there were in the whole world. So they researched and they went around, they found 25 existed, and this was in 1984. And 30 years later, bringing us to the current time, there are over 20,000 24/7 prayer assemblies, whatever you want to call it, prayer houses. And I truly believe that this is an unprecedented movement and a worship phenomenon that is breaking out across the earth. And it stretches far beyond something that's conducted by man. And I think it is something from heaven, something in God's heart that is being released in our midst. And yeah, I am so stoked for the future. And I think it's the most exhilarating hour of history that we are living in. And I think it's truly just an honor to be just born and alive at this time in history. So yeah, Jesus is worthy of the entirety and utmost of our lives. And his worth beckons us to ascribe honor and glory to his name. So yeah, I just want to invite Carly up now to share just a little bit about her experience in prayer and just kind of more practical of what this could look like, even here in Zion, but also just in our lives and our just daily, day-to-day lives.
All right. So yeah, I'm Carly, which I think I know a lot of you. Yeah, that was such a good word from Oliver. Thank you. I just wanted to explore, like, what this can actually look like and kind of what it has been in my life. So when I did my discipleship training school with YWAM, we spent a lot of time in a prayer room, and that was the first time that I really, like, encountered this revelation of prayer and what it really means. And I think one of the first questions I started asking myself was, like, why do we pray? Like, if God knows what's going to happen and he, like, already has a plan out, then what's the purpose? Like, why are we doing this? And just as I spent more time there and I just began to grow in my knowledge of who he is and why we were created, and I just realized that he is about relationship with us. And so just, like, through that, I saw this connection between prayer and a relationship with us. Like, he kind of works by means. Like God created the sun for light, or he created rain to make the plants grow. And so I just kind of see us as, like, a means for, like, his purpose and his ultimate plan to happen. So he chooses to partner with us to bring his plan about, which is, like, one of the most, like, humbling things, that the God and the creator of the universe chooses to have relationship with us and partner with us in bringing that purpose and plan here. So, yeah, as I started my time at the House of Prayer in New Zealand, we would spend about 10 hours a week in the prayer house, which was a lot of time when you're not used to praying or worshiping for that extensive amount of time. On Tuesdays, we would spend about 5 hours in there. And at the beginning of my time there, it was just kind of overwhelming, and I was, like, dreading Tuesdays because I would get bored after the first half hour, and I'm like, what else can I pray for? So just the longer I spent there, and just the more I spent in his presence, and I didn't even have to be doing anything. Like, I could be bored, but his presence was still there. And just, like, the more I was kind of, like, forced into that, not forced, but just, like, presented with that opportunity, he began to just meet me where I was at. It's like James 4:8 says, like, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's what I experienced firsthand. Like, the more I pursued him, the closer he came to me. And by the end of my time there, Tuesdays were, like, my favorite day. I looked forward to them so much because it was just a time when I just got to just be and sit and just dwell in his presence. Like Oliver was saying, just, like, gaze on the beauty of Jesus, which I think is, like, ultimately what we were created for, because that's what we'll be doing in heaven. But so, just to kind of practically bring this about, I know that a lot of you probably don't have 5 hours a week to spend in a prayer room. So Oliver and I kind of just had this desire and vision just to kind of bring that idea of, like, a prayer room to our congregation. Now, this is kind of in the works, and it's not, nothing is set in stone, but it's just something we're looking into. And we're not doing anything like a 24/7 prayer room or anything, but right now what we're looking at is Oliver and I have decided, and we prayed about this, just starting a room here at church where we would meet for, like, an hour and a half every weekday night and just worship our Creator and just pray. And this is just, like, meant to be a place that's to draw ourselves individually closer to the Father through that secret place, but also as a congregation, like, united in prayer. I just think there's something so powerful when we can come together. Like, if we can all catch this vision and just set aside time to just devote ourselves to the secret place as a congregation, I think it can be so powerful. So here we have, I have some like values that we kind of would want to like carry, or like kind of the purpose of what this is. And the first one is, the first and foremost is, it's a prayer room for worship to our God, prayer and worship for Him. We need the first commandment in the first place. Like, it's so important to just spend time with Him. We need to love God, and how do we best love someone? Is you spend time with them. That's how you can show them you love them. And second, we want it to be a place of creativity. Like, I believe, well, God created creativity. So I believe that, like, prayer and worship can look so different to so many people. I think that we connect with the Holy Spirit in different ways. And I just want this to be a place where you can be free to worship and pray a way that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you connect with Him. We also want it to be a place of pilgrimage, where anybody can come, no matter where their walk with Christ is, that we're all on this journey, we're all on a pilgrimage, and it looks different to everyone. But this is a place where God can just meet you where you're at, and it doesn't matter. He loves us no matter where we are. And fourth, a place of mission. This is a place where you can dwell in the intimate place with God. It's intimacy to impact. So from just growing within yourself, or growing your relationship with God in this intimate place, you can pour it out to others, like Oliver was talking about. It's so important to stay connected to the vine, abiding in the vine. Luke 6:45 says, "The good man brings good things out of good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks." So out of what is happening in your heart, in the secret place, that's what will come out of your mouth, and that's how you can outreach and share the love of Christ. We also want it to be a place of justice, a place where you can pray for the issues in the world, or intercede for unjust things that are happening in the community and families, in our nation and in the whole world. Just a place to bring perspective into being thankful for what we have, the freedom we have to worship, but really interceding and contending for those who don't have that freedom. And then we also want it to be a place of community, ultimately. We want it to be a place that will build our community and our congregation, but also those around us, a place to outreach and invite people to come and participate with us, and bring us closer together as one body of Christ. We have so many different ideas for the prayer room, none that I need to go into, but just ultimately the idea of the prayer room is just to bring us closer to God individually and as a congregation. We just want to see God glorified, and all praise and worship be given to Him, because He's so worthy of all of our honor and praise. So, yeah, this is just something that's been on our hearts, and we just would love to continue to speak to you about it if anybody ever wants to talk to us. So I'm just going to pray in close, just that God would just stir our hearts, and yeah. So if you would just join me. God, I just thank you so much for just this opportunity. God, we just thank you that we can be in this place and just freely worship you. And God, we thank you that you come and you meet us where we are at. And God, we just ask that you would just continue to stir our hearts. God, we just want more of you, and we just want to know you more. So God, would you just, would you just come and meet us where we are, Lord? And we just ask that you would just bless this day and just bless the works of our hands as we go out from this place, that it would just be ultimately glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
In response, please turn to number 373. 373. It's about the vine and the branches.
This is our prayer and share time where you can respond to our worship service or the message. This is a time that we come to say prayer is important and we can pray for your concerns or joys. I do want to mention that Matthew had a horse accident last Sunday before they left on their trip. So his horse got spooked, and you're supposed to step back when they get spooked, and he stepped forward to try to help the situation. And in doing that, the horse's head hit him, and he broke his nose. And I know he kind of scraped up his face and had some semi-black eye. So he's okay. He stayed home to rest and was not able to drive last Tuesday, and then they left Wednesday on vacation. So he had a wedding to officiate this weekend. So I don't know if he had to wear an eye patch or not, or, you know, but just to remember his continued healing, we want to do that. So I guess we will know how he looks when he gets back, too. So, over here.
My name is Cristina Reyes.
Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to share with you all the blessings God has done for my family. Thank you for making me a part of your family, because that's how I feel. And I want to especially thank Charlie for giving me the opportunity to be part of his family and giving me the security and comfort he can give every human being who is his friend. Thank you to Cheryl, his wife, for letting him be friends with everyone. I am so thankful that I can never say thanks enough for what he has done for our family. Thanks to Charlie, we were able to meet Wendell and Karen and every member of the family. I want to thank them all for their friendship, and I want to share with you some things I went through before I came to God. About 2 years ago, we were without a car, and Charlie let us borrow his truck. Then we decided to get a car on payments. Thanks to Charlie and all of you, we were able to pay the car sooner. And for that, we give thanks to all of you, even if it's a bit late, but as we say, better late than ever. I remember I asked my husband Felipe when we were getting out of so much trouble. If it's not the car, it's the bills or the washing machine. Everything piled up on us. Then the girls got sick and ended up in the hospital. When you know you're not from this country and you have not been able to save up anything, because when you think everything's good, then something unexpected happens, you think of your family in Mexico. In my case, I have not seen my mom in 20 years, but I don't lose faith that I will see her again. I don't know how the years went by so fast. My kids don't know their grandma. Yes, they talk to her on the phone, but it's not the same. When things like this happen to you, you start to wonder what you are doing with your life and if there's something better. And that's when you start getting closer to God and you ask Him with all your heart to guide you. At this moment in my life, I am growing as a human being, learning to read books that I never imagined existed, because when you have not been taught to dream big, you don't do it. I give thanks to God and everyone here for believing in me. I know I have much to learn and much more to give thanks for. That is why I would like to tell you about my dreams that are coming true. The first dream was to become a mother, and it came true thanks to the support of my amazing husband. He has been understanding and loving all these years. Thank you for loving me all these years. Thanks to the Supreme Being, God, for giving me the opportunity to grow. I know that God is always by your side and ready to lead when we most need Him. I have more dreams that are slowly coming together. Many years ago, when I was 10 or 12, we hardly had anything to eat. We used to go cut coffee, and my mom sent me to the store to buy oil, cheese, and eggs. I remember that she told me, "Don't lose the money," and I said, "No, Mommy." She replied, "Don't forget it," and I said, "No, Mommy." And guess what happened? I was walking and holding the 5 pesos bill, the only one that my mom had, and I was repeating all the way to the store, "Don't lose the money, oil, cheese, and eggs," all the way to the store. When I was about to pay, I no longer had the money, and I wasn't able to bring anything home. I started looking for the money, and many people helped me, and I kept saying, "If you find it, please give it to me, because my mom will punish me." They said yes, but we didn't find it. After a while, they came looking for me, and my mom was upset. We went to work to cut coffee, and all we had to eat was bean taquitos and salsa. I worked, and I cried all day. At the moment, I started asking God for help. How could I have lost the money if it was all that my mom had? I don't know how, but after we came home, my mom came up with 1 peso. She told me, "Go and don't lose it." I said, "No, Mommy," still crying. When I was walking to the store, still looking for the bill, guess what? I found it, folded by the side of the road. It was wet and folded in half. I could not believe it because so many people had been looking for it before. Maybe God had gotten tired of listening to me cry all day, and he said, "I will give it back to her." I was able to buy what my mom had asked me in the first place. Thanks to that, I know that God is real and is with us at all moments.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you are invited to stay for a meal that Christina has prepared today as just a thank you to Zion, too. So please consider that and stay after church for the meal. Would anyone else like to share the prayer and share time? I want to say thank you to Oliver and Carly for sharing today. If you want to chat with them more, that would be great. Hi, George. George Benson.
It's been a while since I've been here. I apologize for that. I've learned some things over the last couple of years as a teacher. Full circle back to teaching after 25 years of being out of it. And God is very gracious, and when you have a dream restored, it's interesting some of the things you can learn. And I've been one to kind of go off of, you know, judging by the physical and walking by sight rather than by faith. And I've learned the last couple of years, when I first started this re-entry, you work hard, you try to be faithful, and you don't necessarily see the results up front. And then over time, you build relationships, and you start seeing results, and you're not doing anything different than you did when you started, but you see results. And I guess that's, and it kind of came to a head this last week. I've lost a lot of weight, and I got invited to participate in the student-staff basketball game, which was also a restoration of a dream of sorts. And the first time around, when I was 18, I was petrified to be playing in front of 1,700 people, and you get all frozen, and you know your talents don't come out. They just you dribble the ball off your foot and stuff like that. Well, this time I was equally afraid, if not more, because you know you got all your students and fellow staff, and I just prayed that I wouldn't get injured or humiliate myself, and. So we're out there, and I didn't get injured. And, you know, you get in the flow of things, and you get comfortable, and it was a blast. I had a few opportunities to take some shots, didn't hit any of them. So, of course, I'm still tempted to go, "Oh, I had a horrible game." But then the kids, one by one, came up to me, "Mr. Vincent, you did a great job." "Yeah, but I didn't hit any of my shots." "You did a great job." And even the staff, it was funny. But again, just being faithful, you have an impact by not your success. You have an impact by just being faithful, getting out there and doing it. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity to teach again, and also selfishly to get out there and play basketball again. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you, George. Anyone else like to share?
Thank you, Oliver and Carly, for sharing. I look forward to just a different way of expressing ourselves, and I think it'll be fun and exciting and new, and it'll be a new adventure. So thanks for the vision.
Yeah, and I also know that leaders here at Zion, we have said we want to encourage the spiritual growth, spiritual life of the congregation, and I see this as a way to, with the prayer room, so look forward to it. Let's go to prayer. Lord, thank you for bringing us together, your people, this community, that we can grow, that we can be challenged in ways of connecting closer to you, of staying attached to the vine, you as the vine. And I just thank you for Oliver and Carly's willingness to share from their hearts today the ways that you have made yourself known and inspired them in that continued growth. So I bless them in this venture and just our conversation together. Thank you for the ways that you show us opportunities to teach, to be with others, to give of ourselves. And Lord, thank you for Christina and her family and their expressions of love today. May we enjoy this meal together, reciprocating that love as you would have us to do. We pray for Matthew and Becky this morning, asking for travel mercies and also just continued healing and strength for Matthew. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Please stand and turn in your hymnal to number 573. 573, these are familiar words, but a new tune.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Go in peace.